On ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, this is Evenings with Louise Saunders.
When it comes to teaching your animals new tricks, perhaps it's best to stick with the dogs. Have you thought about that while you're home? Maybe it's basic obedience when it comes to your dog, something that they may have missed, or maybe you're going for a fancier trick. Kat Davison-Galley is the owner of the Happy Hound Initiative. She trains dogs. Hi, Kat.
How are you going?
I'm going well. Is having a lot more time at home and with your animal a good time to get into some training, be it either basic or advanced?
I think it's a really good time. I think any training you do anyway, you're going to start doing that training at home in a distraction-free environment. So starting training in your lounge room is a good idea anyway. And now that people have got a little bit of extra time, I think our dogs are all absolutely loving it.
Do you think the dogs are clued in? If they're used to you disappearing for 7 or 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and suddenly you're there all the time, do they pick up on that?
Definitely. I think a lot of people are probably noticing a little bit of a behaviour change in their dogs. I know my dog was in a very weird mood yesterday, and I think a lot of that's to do with their sleep patterns and their cycles have been a little bit mucked up. So young puppies especially that may be used to sleeping for 20 hours a day, as they should. If you're at home during the day, you're constantly getting up, you're doing things, the kids are at home, the kids are playing with the dog. Your dogs are probably loving you being home, but also a little bit like, I need to have a nap now.
So all those memes about, you're still here, why don't you just go out, are actually entirely appropriate and accurate.
I think our dogs, yes, it's great. Dogs are social animals. They love to have us around, but they also sleep a lot. And I know my dog definitely yesterday, she was, you know, every time I got up and got a cup of tea or moved around, she kind of had half an eye open. And I think she would have been exhausted by the end of the day just watching me walk around and drink 20 cups of tea.
I know. They feel they've got to help you, don't they? You're going to the toilet. Okay, right. Yeah, I'll come with you.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things you could look at your dog, whether it's an old dog looking at new tricks or a puppy that's still going through the training phase? What should you sort of assess about your animal before you think about what you could possibly do with training?
I think a big one is what you want to get out of it as well and what your lifestyle is. So I love training for the sake of training. So training tricks that might actually, you know, never have anything to do with what you need your dog to do. But I think tricks are a really good way to get your training chops, you know, make sure that you're practicing the way that you train, really building up that relationship with your dog as well.
What's one of your favourite tricks?
I was thinking about this earlier. I think two of my favourite, I'll go three. Can I go three?
Please do. More the better.
So one of the ones that is super simple to teach is a spin. So your dog's spinning around in a circle. Really, really simple one to teach. My dog actually only goes one way. She only goes clockwise. She can't go anti-clockwise like Zoolander. She can't turn left. But she's really good at going clockwise, and it's really, really cute. It's super easy to teach. Happy to go through a little bit.
Yeah, please do. How do you start?
Yeah. So for this one, I use luring. And what I mean by that is I'm just using a small piece of food to encourage my dog to move in a certain way. So if you think about yourself standing there and your dog standing in front of you, facing you, all you would need to do is get that little piece of food. So use something small, soft, delicious, like roast chicken or some dog roll, and you would put it right in front of your dog's nose in a closed hand, a little tiny bit lower than their nose, and then you just literally spin your whole arm in a circle. So what your dog's going to do is follow that little piece of food and spin in a circle. And then once they get all the way back to you, so they do that full circle, you can reward them by giving them that treat. And you can practice that a bunch and a bunch and a bunch and gradually make that hand movement a little bit smaller so you can, you know, you don't have to do that massive circle every single time.
And as you say, your dog can't turn left. Could you try it both ways or are you better to stick to one direction?
No. If you're going, I would encourage you to, I mean, you can do it any way you want, but if you want to do something that's like a spin, you go one way and then the other way, just start teaching both ways early on.
Yes.
So that was just me. When I did it early on, I only ever did one way, called a spin, and then I tried to teach a turn, like I called it turn, and the other way, and she would just look at me like I had three heads. So that was just a lack of foresight when I first trained that many years ago now.
Now that makes sense. Trick number two, Kat?
So trick number two, which I really, really love, is a paws up. So your dog putting their paws up on something. So I taught this initially. I have like a little footstool, so I taught it to the footstool. And again, I use that luring. So using a little piece of food in front of their nose, and if they're standing directly, you know, in front of or behind, technically, the thing, the footstool, you could just use that lure to encourage their head up and encourage them to put their front feet up on whatever it is that you're using, and then give them that piece of food.
Aww.
And repeat. So then you can, the great thing about a paws up is you can bring it anywhere. So you might be that you're out walking and there's a log and you can do a paws up to the log. It might be that you've got a little skateboard like I do in my lounge room, as you do have a skateboard in your lounge room. And you can do a paws up on the skateboard and then your little dog learns how to skateboard.
When you're using the command, do you need to kind of modify so you got the same tone each time you say it?
I think it's helpful. And the other thing is looking at what your body is doing as well. So a lot of people, they'll say sit, and they'll be saying sit, and they'll say it 17 times and eventually the dog sits. But they're not looking at what the rest of their body is doing, and they're not giving the dog a chance to actually process. You know, if you're in another room and someone kind of yells something at you and you're like, yep, and then 5 seconds later you go, what? Because you weren't actually paying attention, or maybe you didn't understand what they said in the first place.
Yeah, or you're overwhelmed by sort of all the physical activity. What's trick three, Kat?
So trick three is a shake or a high five. So my little dog Lola, she knows a high five, which I think is a really, really good trick for people that are a little bit unsure about dogs. So sometimes I'll meet a child that's a little bit nervous around the dog, and because she's doing it from a seated position, because they don't have to really interact with her that much, it's a really good way to break down that barrier.
We've got some ideas or tricks from you, Kat. We'll put it up online too so people can listen to your instructions again. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're so welcome, Louise.